Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Wicked Side. This is Brenna.
Hey, everybody, it's Tom.
And we just want to issue a trigger warning, as per always. Sometimes our episodes get a little dark, a little distressing, and a little depressing, and this one gets a little adult, so we recommend no sensitive or little ears around. And thank you for joining us on The Wicked Side.
See ya.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Wicked Side.
Hey, everybody.
So he made it. He's alive.
Hey, the field trip was not as ill-omened as once thought.
I didn't curse my brother.
What a fun day it was riding. Because I didn't actually ride the bus. I rode behind it in my own vehicle because they frown upon you smoking on buses full of kids nowadays.
Yeah, they do.
So I just... Yeah, fuck gas prices. Decided to drive my own car, which was awesome. But I just sat behind them the entire time in traffic. So
that's fair. And car's a lot more comfortable than a bus. Though, oh, yeah. The downside is you'll miss some of the interesting shit that kids let slip. Have you ever heard like them let out shit about their home lives? And you're like, oh.
Yeah. Buddy told me I was... pretty lucky I didn't sit on the bus. He just said how loud it was.
Yeah. One field trip that I went on with my daughter, and we were on the bus, and this kid looks at me and goes, "My dad says my mommy's a hoe." And I'm like, "What now?" I'm sorry.
I got to sit next to my son and his friends, and they were on the more animated side. They were fairly vocal and... Yeah, it was fun. We had a good time.
Yeah, the pictures you sent me look like you guys had fun. It was just the trip home I was concerned about.
Same.
So you messaged me, I'm like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, no, we made it. And because of that, I had to be informative to our mom all day, too. So.
Oh, yeah, our regular listener, Trisha, yeah, she actually messaged me. She goes, "Tom's okay, right?" Yeah,
Tom's okay. So. Well, thank you, Trisha. I'm glad somebody out here is worried about me.
Somebody cares.
So she's out here, Brenna's out here traumatizing me repeatedly.
I mean, yeah, but it's... at least it has an entertaining effect, I guess.
I also, Buddy was curious about what the episode was about, because we kept talking about it.
Yeah.
So, I didn't tell him till later. I was unlocking the door on our way from coming back. Like, hey, you want to know what the podcast was about?
All right, we'll tell you.
And he's like, oh, that does suck.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Even he recognized the irony.
Yeah. That was so funny. I remember calling mom, and mom's like, well, I'm going to be messaging you.
Yeah, it was super fun. That's all right. We had a good time. And my coworkers got a kick out of the story, too.
Yeah, mine did, too. I told everybody, and I'm like, yeah, so I did that.
This is what I deal with to be on the podcast. I just, for anybody who doesn't think that when we say, I don't know what the episodes are about, I genuinely don't know what they're about. I just don't.
But that's the best. I get the best reactions out of you that way, so.
Yeah. Ugh. Oh, God. Oh, that's fucking, oh.
Well, hopefully you won't have that reaction as much today, because I went a little easier on you.
All right. So. It's about time. I think you owe me.
I do. To be fair, I do. Yeah. So, okay. So, Tom, since you made it to today's episode, and I've tortured you through two very difficult-to-hear stories.
Yeah. No kidding.
Let's lighten things up. This week, I've decided to make you a series of people again.
All right.
This week, you'll be taking a ride in the shoes of some of the men who have held one of the most powerful seats in history. Today, Tom, you are going to be various popes.
Nice.
But not just any popes. We're going through some of the most interesting and weirdest popes in history. And please remember, everybody, I'm not attacking anyone's religion. This is just a history discussion. If you don't like it or it offends you, go listen to another.
Probably walk away now.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck off. Go listen to another podcast, respectfully. So, where should we start today? How about with the Pope who outlawed tobacco because he believed it caused sneezing, and sneezing was apparently too close to an orgasm for him.
Nice.
Well, for you.
Nice.
Yep.
I am vehemently, you know, against orgasms. No O faces of any sort. I don't care why you make them.
Yep. So, you, Pope Urban VII, declared in 1590 the first public smoking ban.
So, was he like a pent-up-a-costal?
not.
Come on.
You threatened to excommunicate people who took tobacco in the porchway of or inside a church, whether it be chewing it, smoking it with a pipe, or sniffing it in the powder form through the nose.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know you could snort tobacco, but that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Also of interest, you were the Pope who had the shortest reign in history.
Huh?
You only had the job for 12 days before you died of malaria.
I don't know how you give someone malaria, but my guess people were like, hey, you see those mosquitoes? Fucking dump them in old post pet up a costal suite.
So you were born August 4th of 1521. You started your papacy September 15th of 1590. Mm. And you died September 27th.
Okay. So,
the tragedy in all of this, too, is you actually put in a lot of work to become the Pope. You studied all across Italy. You earned a doctorate in civil law and canon law, finished your studies at the University of Bologna, and you entered the priesthood March 30th of 1553. But you're not just known for your smoking ban. You're also known for your charity to the poor. One of your acts was subsidizing bakers so they could sell bread at a much cheaper cost.
Okay.
Yeah. So
nice. So I didn't just try to dick everyone. I made bread cheap.
Yeah. And you were vehemently against nepotism, especially within the church, and actively forbade it within the Roman Curia, which, for those who don't know, is the administration through which the affairs of the Catholic Church are conducted. However, Pope Benedict XIII repealed all smoking bans in 1779, and the Vatican even ended up opening its own tobacco factory.
Yeah, that's how you get longer terms.
Yeah. So yeah, that was the first one. Now this,
cool. I'm the, I keep the Prohibition Pope.
Prohibition Pope.
the pent up Apostle Prohibition Pope. There you go.
I just
P-P-P-P. Alliteration, baby.
I just love the notion that, like, even all these years later, like, smoking and smoking bans are still, like, something that we argue about, debate on, go back and forth on. It's just proof that nothing's new.
Look, I'm actively quitting. It's hard to say I'm quitting now. I've been trying to quit for however many fucking years.
I was about to say it's been a minute.
Yeah, I'm very fond of saying I've been quitting smoking since I met Amanda. So
yeah,
it's what happens. But actively trying now. But like, have you seen the prices on them recently? It's fucking expensive.
No. Yeah.
Like, they'll just make you quit through taxes. Fuck.
I believe it. I fucking believe it. So
I'm start growing it on my own.
There you go. I actually like the smell of tobacco leaves, though. Like, when they're fresh. Like,
I still like tobacco, but I don't need to smoke cigarettes every day. Mm-hmm. But I do like cigars and whiskey, so if it's more of a treat on the weekend, just like I do whiskey
anyway.
That
makes sense.
Yeah, I figure I don't have to eliminate, I just have to eliminate cigarettes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll vape to my heart's content.
Makes sense.
Not claiming that vaping's healthier or anything, I just don't hate it, but I know I could put the vape down really easily.
Yeah.
I don't like it that much.
Now, this next one isn't a Pope story, but I found it funny, so I just had to share it, because it popped up in my research.
A Pope popped up in your research?
No.
I'm really glad we got, like, pop filters and stuff now.
Yes.
All these peas this episode.
Especially with a Midwestern accent, so, yeah.
We eat up those peas and bees.
We really do. So, anyway, in 1004... a Byzantine princess brought forks with her to her wedding in Venice to a prominent member of an Italian socialite. Apparently, the local clergy found this to be a big faux pas. It prompted one of them to state, God in his wisdom has provided man with natural forks, his fingers. Therefore, it is an insult to him to substitute artificial metal forks for them when eating.
I mean, isn't that like the Amish and cars and all that? Or like tools? And like, I don't know.
It's just so ludicrous to me. These guys were so uptight, they were policing cutlery.
I mean, yeah, that I get.
When she died 2 years later of the plague, St. Peter Damian claimed it was because she used forks.
Oh, sweet.
He said, while listing her many perceived flaws, nor did she deign to touch her food with her fingers, but would command her eunuchs to cut it up into small pieces, which she would impale on a certain golden instrument with two prongs and thus carry to her mouth. Does it just sound a little dirty?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, so it's not just me. Like, I'm like,
I mean, anytime you throw, like, instructing your eunuchs to do anything, it gets real sultry real fast. Who knows?
Well, the instrument to the mouth thing. I was like, okay.
It made you think, did it?
Anyway, the quote continues. This woman's vanity was hateful to the Almighty God, and so unmistakably did he take his revenge, for he raised over her the sword of his divine justice, so that her whole body did putrefy and all of her limbs began to wither. So next time we find ourselves suffering the random chaos of the universe, just remember, it's because we're awful dirty and we use forks.
I mean, I always figured I was going to hell for one reason or the other, but...
You didn't figure it'd be because of
a fork? Yeah, I didn't think I'd get to the gate and at the end of the list and they'll be like, and on top of all of that, you used the fork.
But you can see, like, why I had to include that, because that's hilarious.
At least I'll have some reasoning, you know. I'll know. It won't be a surprise now.
I have a guess.
Yeah. And the worst of it all, for real, forks? Mm-hmm. Word?
Yep. It's like, everything I've done, like, really? Have you guys heard some of the shit I've said to people?
Man, you did not see that one time in traffic, huh?
Right. So anyway, your journey as Pope Urban the VII has now ended. Now you move on, and you are John the 12th. And you, sir, are one saucy pope. You were born sometime between 930 and 937 in Rome. Your papacy began December 16th of 955. So if you're doing your math, this makes you either 18 to 25. Either way, it seems you were really young to become a freaking pope.
Nice.
Yeah. The reason they aren't sure about your age, though, is because there's a little controversy over who your mother actually was. Your father was Alberic II of the Spoletos, from the patrician side of the tracks, which was the Roman ruling class. In fact, his status would be considered a prince of Rome.
Okay.
Your mother was either his stepsister, and the daughter of King Hugh of Italy, or a concubine.
Oh, nice.
So one or the other, but they don't know which... your father dies, and you become Prince of the Romans between the ages of 17 and 24. And when Pope Agapetus, I'm probably saying that wrong, the second, dies, November of 955, you are elected to be successor. You find yourself seeking help from King Otto the First of Germany, where you are facing not only rebellion from Roman nobility, but also attacks on papal territory from King Berengar the Second of Italy.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, the research said he just didn't handle it as well as his father did. He didn't handle dealing with the upper class as well, and, you know, as...
Didn't play the game quite as well.
Just didn't play the game.
Our Jon Snow here didn't have the politics to get to the Iron Throne.
Yep.
Or, well, he did, I guess. He got there, but it was troubled.
Yeah, exactly. So King Otto swears allegiance to you. You then made King Otto Emperor Otto. So yay.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nothing like an upgrade to an already bloated title.
Right. You also swore to be faithful to Otto's leadership and not support King Berengar II or his son Adalbert. Eventually, the Emperor left Rome to go take Berengar down, but before he left, he asked you to clean up your act. You see, it turns out that you, who passed his whole life in vanity and adultery.
That nice.
Was a direct quote.
Hell really, yes.
Really like to party.
I'm kind gorgeous and I fuck.
Yep, with a lot of different people. And not surprisingly, you decline. So
You're
like, no, hey, I'm going to keep doing me,
I'm the Pope that was always looking for the holiest of holies.
And a Roman prince. So like, yeah.
Yeah, buddy. Was gorgeous and royalty. Of course I was. I was out there looking for that ancient cutta.
Now as time passes, the new emperor is gaining power, and this makes you nervous. Oh. So you sent envoys to other empires, and you enter into negotiations with Adalbert, which of course you swore not to do.
I mean, I'm a philanderer. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter who I make a deal with. I'm going behind their back.
You're
going
to fuck somebody in some way.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It might not be the traditional way, but fucking's gonna happen.
Yeah, anybody can get it. I'm not particular.
Purveyor of fuckery.
That's right. In all of its forms.
When Otto became suspicious after catching some of your ambassadors, he sends his own people back to Rome to find out what's going on. He was told that you were simply trying to reform the papal court.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. But what he then found out was Adalbert had actually been to Rome and was talking to you. Because there was quite a few people that were very much like...
Somebody left the location on their phone on. They got caught cheating.
They did, yeah. So basically what was going on is it seemed like people were starting to divide up and take sides between Emperor Otto and you. And... Yeah, so the people were, like, narking hardcore, like...
Bastards!
Hey, he's doing this. Hey, you need to know he's doing this.
Must have not been slinging the good D out there. They're out here telling on me.
So good old Otto decides it's time for a visit, and what he finds is the divided city. Half supporting him, half supporting you. He also found you with troops, and you yourself dressed in armor.
Nice!
Which kind of... interesting for a pope. You drive the emperor's forces back, but then decide you can't keep fighting him and nope right out of there with Adalbert and the papal treasury.
I mean, I think the armor's a surprise to me. I kind of figured this guy to raw dog it, you know?
Oh, I just love the part of, like, he literally left with the papal treasury, like, just...
Yeah, give me the money, I am out! Fuck this shit.
You know, this all gold and pretty shit, I just can't leave it behind. So the emperor and his council demand you present yourself to face charges, and you decide to respond by threatening to excommunicate everyone who's trying to remove you.
Yeah, fuck you! You don't like me here? You can leave! Yeah. You can leave!
They respond by firing you and hiring a new pope. Leo the Eighth.
Get the fuck out. You got the old ancient GTFO.
Pretty much. The people still in Rome that were loyal to you tried to fight back, but they lost.
See, those were the ones who appreciated the D.
Badly. They lost badly.
I mean, alright.
And when Otto left, you went back. So I was like, he's not there anymore. I'm just gonna slide back in. With friends, of course.
Of course!
Leo VIII was forced to flee, and you took over again after you ordered that your enemies have some body parts removed.
Ooh, mm-hmm. I'm out here castrating people!
Mm-hmm. Deciding you didn't want this feud with Otto to go on forever, you set a bishop to try to negotiate some kind of peace. But before anything can come of this...
Oh?
You get yourself unalived.
Oh, fun!
Yep.
I'm like dead popes, I guess.
After all the drama, it's reported you died via strangulation.
Oh, shit. Please tell me it was autoerotic.
Turns out a husband found you with his wife.
Yeah.
And he wasn't really happy about it.
So it really was autoerotic.
I know.
It's post-erotic anyway.
So May 14th of 964, you went to meet your maker with a long list of accusations.
Apparently that wasn't the only long thing about me. Yeah, let's go.
God.
Pope von Hugendong. Let's do this.
Oh my god.
This guy was out here slanging. I can appreciate it. Hey, live by the sword, die by the sword. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep. So these were some of the charges, though, that they tried to charge you with. to remove you as Pope. Not taking communion.
Fuck yeah. Fuck that wine and bread.
Ordaining a deacon in a horse stable.
Hell yeah, you can get it right here next to Shadowfax.
Accepting bribes and making people bishops, including a 10-year-old boy.
Okay. That's not the worst thing I've heard of a Catholic doing to a 10-year-old boy. But, you know, that's beside the fact. Okay. And by the way, that's definitely not the worst thing you could have charged me with doing in a horse stable. It sounds like with this guy. You don't fucking know.
You're not wrong. And oh, let's not forget adultery. Lots and lots and lots of adultery.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Oh, you're married? You can get it. I don't give a fuck. It just makes you a candidate. It doesn't exclude you.
Right. Blinding your confessor, which led to his death.
Oh, shit.
Yep. Killing a cardinal subdeacon after castrating him.
Oh.
Yeah. Some clerics have even claimed that you toasted the devil with wine, played dice, and invoked the names of Venus and Jupiter and, quote, other demons.
Jeez.
Yeah.
You was just living the dream. Just rock star Pope out here.
Oh, yeah. Which I find kind of hilarious that there's, you know. I mean, what do they expect? You put a 20-something on a throne and give him all the power and funds? Yeah, yeah. He's not going to do well with it.
Yeah, yeah, we all saw Joffrey. We know. Make another Game of Thrones references.
Right. Horace Mann was quoted as saying, "There cannot be a doubt that John the 12th was anything but what a pope, the cheap pastor of a Christendom, should have been."
That's so funny that his name is actually John, too. You know nothing, John Snow. John Pope.
It is his papal name, yes. So I didn't put any of their real names in because I'm like...
No, it's not worth it. They changed them for a reason. History forgot those names.
So...
We shall know him as Pope von Hugendong.
You might want to save this for the next guy, then.
Yeah!
So, yeah, the next man on our list is Pope Alexander VI. This pope is pretty notorious. I'm sure more than a few of our listeners already know about him, but I'm pretty sure you don't, Tom, so they probably get to not enjoy your reactions.
Oh boy, here we go.
You were born January 1st of 1431 in Spain to the prominent Borgia family.
Oh, nice.
And you studied law. But this wasn't enough for you. You literally use your family connections. Your uncle was actually Pope Calixtus III, and I'm pretty sure I said that terribly, apologies, in 1455. And then bribes, of course, to get yourself seated on the throne as Pope.
No, I totally remember this part from Assassin's Creed. Come on now, go.
Once there, you shamelessly used your position to give friends and family with lucrative posts, and even sold some of the positions to people in power, lining your own pockets.
Hell yeah!
Which, by the way, that is called simony. It has a name. So,
oh, okay.
I didn't know it did, but yeah, it has a name. It's called simony. When you were just 25, your uncle made you a cardinal.
Oh.
Then a year later, you became the vice chancellor of the Holy See, or also known as the Vatican.
Nice.
And it was reported that you enjoyed your power and position. In fact, you used to celebrate them by having orgies.
Hell yeah, I did.
Lots and lots of orgies.
Why not?
Yeah. It was so well known that the Pope who succeeded your uncle warned you and called your sexy time parties unseemly. In fact, the Pope was said to have attended one of these infamous parties.
Who the fuck wants to go to a seemly orgy? It better be unseemly or nah, dog. I'm not trying to go to a... I mean, what are we going to be... What do you want? It's supposed to be weird.
Well, this is what cracks me up, too, okay? Because the Pope that attended this party went under Pope Pius.
Nice.
The second. And thusly,
Pope Penis the Second.
Yeah. And described it thusly, none of the allurements of love were lacking. And most of the attendees, he noticed, were women. And very few men were present.
Oh, wow. Not a sausage party.
Yeah. You also had two mistresses. You openly acknowledged that you fathered 7 children.
Nice.
Remember, you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah, well.
They're all supposed to be celibate. So.
I'm the Pope. God told me so.
Well, you were cardinal at the time.
Okay,
so.
Well.
But it's believed you had many more children.
He doesn't sound like Pope Pullout.
He is not. 4 of those children were with a noblewoman who was already married.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, it was said that the company you found the company of women especially enjoyable if they were already married.
It makes it more exciting.
Bonus points if you were the one to perform the marriage ceremony.
Nice. That's how he's picking them out.
Yeah.
I now pronounce you man and wife. Let me see you in the back.
Like, talk about a hyper-specific kink, though. Like, yeah. This is like...
I mean, at least you understand where, like, whole prima nocta thing was born. Like, I want to crack at that before you get it. Let me see it.
Now, mind you, this was all when you were a cardinal. All right?
Man.
You didn't stop having these parties once you became pope.
Fuck,
it
no,
just
I didn't.
Seemed like you gained more funding to make them more extravagant.
Oh. The Hellfire Club has nothing on these dudes. Refer back a few episodes, everyone.
Yeah. What was it? Brethren Before Harlots.
Yeah.
I'm proud of that name. Anyway, there is one account of an event called the Banquet of the Chestnuts.
Okay.
Now, this account is documented by a man who wasn't a huge fan of yours, so historians aren't sure how much of it to take seriously, so take this all with a grain of salt.
Oh, so this could just be a hit piece.
It could, but it is very entertaining, so...
All right, you read the whatever, I can't even think of like a gossip rag from nowadays, but read the tabloid, let's go.
He claims that you hired 50 sex workers for the party to dance naked.
It was 100 of them, fuck him.
And that's just the start. He claims after the dinner, and this is a quote, after the dinner, the candelabra with the burning candles were taken from the tables and placed on the floor, with chestnuts strewn around everywhere, which the naked courtesans picked up, creeping on hands and knees between the chandeliers, while the Pope Cesare, which was his son, and his daughter Cesare's sister Lucretia looked on. After this event, everyone began having sex. And the men in attendance had their orgasms documented.
Oh.
Why, you might ask? Because after it was all over, you would distribute prizes to the men who had the most nuts.
Nuts! Nice. That's fucking awesome.
I'm glad that line hit so well.
I mean, oh, man. See, it just lets you know, the ancient world didn't have it all wrong.
Yeah, so these prizes were expensive articles of clothing. So
You
were winning clothes for getting naked.
Fuck yeah. But we already, you already look great naked. That's like everyone's natural state of being. Like, there you go. You know, then you just got to dress it up right.
Oh, God.
We all start at a good platform.
So that your stance as Pope, naked is natural?
Hell yeah.
Clothes are against God.
I'd be the first Pope to be setting up nude beaches in Italy.
Oh, my God.
Like, you could trace it back to my Pope heritage.
Oh, Lord. Anyway, even when you get old, you're able to charm women, and we're described as drawing winning women to you and having a sort of magnetism.
So me and this guy have some things in common. Oh, I like this.
Right. You die at 72 from what is believed to be the plague, although there's some speculation that you might have been poisoned, you know, because you like to sleep with powerful, rich guys' wives.
Hell yeah.
So.
Hey, live hard, die fast.
I guess. Oh my God. Yeah, I thought you would,
I mean, I dig it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now we're getting to one of the stories that I've always found really, I don't know, interesting, weirdly, morbidly hilarious.
Okay.
Okay. I don't want to say it's a favorite of mine, but it's kind of a favorite of mine because it's just so freaking wild.
Okay. Shoot.
Now, some folks might have heard of this story, but for those who haven't, strap the fuck in. So, we'll start by talking about Pope Formosus. He became Pope October 6th of 891, and it wasn't really a good time to be Pope. There was a whole mess of political power struggles and infighting that made the job stressful, and it often came with a very short life expectancy. And Formosus was not very well liked. Some claimed it had something to do with like his views on like the Holy Spirit, that he had some controversial take, I guess.
Hey.
But more than likely, it was because of a dispute that led the bishops getting the profits from Roman brothels.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And a feud with one of the most powerful families in Italy at the time, the Spoletos, which we brought up earlier.
Yep.
Yeah. The head of the family was also the emperor of Rome and wanted his son to be declared co-ruler. But Formosus refused. When the emperor died, his son expected to be declared emperor next, but Formosus appointed Arnulf, the king of the Franks, instead. And of course, this really kicked things off. But while Formosus was trying to gather an army to deal with the Spoleto family, he ended up dying from natural causes.
Ooh. It doesn't seem like anybody lasts very long.
No, they really didn't.
Weren't very many old men back then.
Yeah, I mean, this Game of Thrones shit, man, it's not far off at all.
Get red-weddinged in this bitch.
This led to Pope Boniface VI taking over. He died of gout just 15 days into his reign.
Oh man, he ate himself to death. He was ready to go.
There are some claims that he was helped off this mortal coil, however, to make room for the Spoleto's chosen candidate.
Of course.
And that is where we enter you.
Oh. And
that could have been phrased better. This time.
Phrasing!
It's exactly like my brain stopped for a minute. I heard Archer in my head, and I'm like, that was badly said.
So we're just not doing phrasing anymore?
This time, you're Pope Stephen VI. Now, you want to keep the favor of the Spoletos. So you and the new head of the family cook up a pretty freaking wild plan. You see, Formosus was guilty of holding two seats of power at once, as he was also the bishop of Porto while he was pope. And that's a big no-no. You're not supposed to hold two positions of power within the church. I think it's like you just don't want someone amassing too much power.
Right. I'm responsible for 56 offices here, so like my vote is one in for 56. Here you go.
Interestingly, you were also guilty of this crime. But we're just going to gloss right over that because it seemed like everyone else did at the time.
Yeah. It's only used when it's convenient.
So the goal here was to discredit Formosus. Now, we really don't know much about you before your time as Pope. We don't even know when you were born. We do know you took on the role as Pope, though, on May 22nd of 896.
Okay.
We also know what comes next.
Oh?
Yeah. You decide to put Formosus on trial.
Nice.
You literally put a dead guy on trial.
Yeah, hell yeah. Fuck him.
You dug up a very dead guy, 9 months at this point. You had him dressed in the vestments of his station, and you sat him on the papal throne. Most of the clergy were very unwilling to participate in this.
Your Honor, he's not answering my questions.
Oh, no. No, he thought of that. But considering your connections at the time, they couldn't do much. Also, in a very dickish move, and this is where we get to it, knowing the corpse obviously couldn't speak for itself, you appointed a teenage deacon to speak for the cadaver.
No, look, guys, I gave him a voice. This kid fucking totally knows what this guy wants to say.
From what I understand, he was 15.
It's like Roman Weekend at Bernie's.
And you tasked attendants with holding the corpse up because otherwise it would just slide to the floor.
What the fuck?
Yep.
Shoot me. I do not want to be that guy who has to fucking hold up the 9-month-old corpse. I just fucking don't.
You scream and rage at the dead guy during the trial. Like literally screaming. Working himself up into a froth, screaming at this dead man.
Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Would you be more lively, please?
Hurling accusations and then mocking the corpse's silence.
Oh my god. I can't believe there were enough humans to stand around and watch this that anyone actually remembered. Because for sure, that means it was recorded somewhere.
They didn't have the internet back then, though. They had to be entertained somewhere.
Dude, could you imagine today? It would be on you, just this lawyer screaming at a corpse. Like, why won't you answer the accusations, Mr. Blah Blah?
Meanwhile, his ear slides off.
The kid behind him trying to hold him like a fucking arm comes off. You're guilty. If you stay silent if you're guilty.
Right?
So fucking awesome.
Oh, God. I had to, though. It was just too funny.
At least it was post-mortem. That guy didn't have to sit through it in real life.
Yeah.
He could have done a Tyrion Lannister and just, like, invoke trial by combat and called it good for another reference there. There we go.
Well, some felt that God was a little put off by the events. Oh. Because during the trial, there was actually a pretty massive earthquake.
I mean, you dug up one of his faithful few, I guess.
Someone wrote later, for the stones themselves, extricating such a monstrosity, then cried out with their own voice by knocking against each other, that they would more willingly suffer spontaneous ruin than that the Roman church should remain depressed by so great a scandal.
Oh my God, sorry.
It's all right.
Holy crap.
But you were undaunted. Since the jury or panel, whatever you want to call them, was mostly made up of your supporters.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, yep. Or mm-hmm. people who couldn't or wouldn't fight against you, Formosus' body was found guilty. All ordinations and rulings he made were reversed. The body was then stripped of his vestments, put in plain clothes. Three of his fingers were removed, the fingers that gave the benediction.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Then it was said that you had the body buried, then thrown in the Tiber River. Because, of course, you did. Why not?
Bury him, dig him up again, throw him in the river.
Yeah.
Fuck it. I won't.
However, the body was later fished out again and given a proper burial. And then I read somewhere, too, that you found out you dug him up again and then threw him in the river again, only for him to be dug out again or fished out again and then buried again. I don't know if it happened a second time or not. I only found that in one source, but it was like...
That's ridiculous.
Oh, I was dying. I'm like, wow, that is like some hardcore hatred. When you're so mad at somebody that them being dead doesn't help.
No, you want to sue the corpse. You want to bury the corpse, dig up the corpse, throw the corpse in the river.
Cut off the corpse's fingers.
Oh, God. Strip him of its clothing and put him in rags. Fucking dude, he's dead.
Right.
Like, what am I supposed to put on him? Like, his leg just fell off, man.
Mm-hmm. Just sew it in the bed. Like, what do we do? You know? Anyway, the Spoleto saw that the public was really not happy with this trial at all, and it turned public opinion against you hardcore.
Of course it did.
Yeah.
You just sued a corpse.
So they chose to tactfully step back a few paces and whistle innocently, which was good since a mob came for you.
Oh, nice.
You were captured, imprisoned, and then strangled to death. So, the moral of the story, don't dig up a corpse and put it on trial. It doesn't end well.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I wonder if they sued his corpse afterward just for funsies.
I think they learned their lesson by that point, and they're like, yeah, let's not do that.
Stop dragging bodies into the courtroom.
That's not going to end very well.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway, that, Tom, is the wicked side of history's most interesting popes.
Oh, my goodness.
Some of them. Just some of them. This is, like, a small portion of what I found.
I like it. I'm not surprised that we have, like, you know, orgy pope and cool prince of Rome pope. It's even less shocking than, you know, I don't know. The suing the dead corpse. That's, I don't care where that happens at. That's fucked up. I just imagine everybody's job it had to be like there was a dude to hold him up.
Yeah.
There had to be a judge sitting there. There had to be somebody in charge. Like all the people in the like, what are we doing? This guy is screaming at himself.
A 9 months decomposing corpse. No. And they did not have embalming back then, so.
I mean, they did. They had embalming. I mean, there's Egyptians,
but.
To be fair, I don't know what other forms that people may have practiced, you know, feel dressing animals as a form of embalming. You're removing the parts that decompose and whatnot. So who knows?
Safe to say, this guy probably didn't receive that, though.
I don't know. Within the Roman church, maybe they have something. But good God, I can't imagine even with any embalming technique, it's going to be pleasant.
No. Fuck. I just feel sorry for that teenager. Like, what are you going to do? Yeah. How do you defend that?
Yeah.
You know, you're like this scary guy that's like...
Well, it's you and this other kid who are holding up a corpse. And what do you do? Like, go behind him and manipulate the head and jaw? I object!
But you already know you can't come up with anything, because if you respond, this dude's going to turn on you, and you're like, I don't fucking want that.
Oh, yeah. He did not sound like that. His accent was deeper.
Oh, God.
Oh, fuck.
History's fucking wild.
I mean, yeah, it is. So much good, so much bad, so much funny.
I figured I owed it to you. I really owed it to you to do something that...
Yeah, and I'm not, like, going to, you know, the Vatican tomorrow or anything.
Hey, so. You have not pulled out the whiskey.
True. I have not started doing shots this episode.
So I haven't damaged you. Yay!
I mean, it'll do a lot to my road to recovery.
Oh, God. It's...
I do like how you didn't post the episode to, like... You were sure I was back?
That's exactly what I did. I did not want to put it out. I put that off and I'm like, I can just wait. I'll just wait until I know for certain that he's home safe. Because I was like, I don't believe in this shit, but what if I'm wrong? What if I just... accidentally, like, kill my brother.
Dude, I actively had, every time the what if thought entered my mind, I had to actively cut it off. Yeah. Like, the entire time.
Oh, God, I felt so bad.
But we had a wonderful time. The show was incredible. The kids were great. We had a good time. Went and did, like, McDonald's breakfast before I even took him to school. I drove him in late because I'm dad and it's what I do. Mm-hmm. And... when we got off, like, it was fun. It was just a good day. Good. So
I'm glad. I am glad.
That's good. Help erase some of the trauma of the night before.
Oh, God. I can't. That was so badly and wonderfully done.
Like I said, I mean, the title of that was the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the best worst time podcast ever.
Yep.
Yet. Just yet.
Yeah, yet is probably the most accurate thing we could say, because with our luck.
No shit. Yeah, at this point, like, we can't wish each other well in any aspect of our lives at this point. Like, I hope you have a terrible day.
Oh, God. We had a week. We ended up getting locked out of our car, like...
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, we were, like, for, like, 3 hours in the grocery parking lot. We had to call Mom and Dad, and they came and sat with us, and Dad tried, and we just couldn't get it, so we had to call a locksmith.
Nice.
That was fun.
That is always great.
And it was especially bad, though, because I had to get some... final edits done on some drawings the next day.
Oh.
So I was up super late working on that, and I had a full day the next day. Like, nice. One of those days when as soon as I got in, I was tattooing from the moment I walked in the door to the time, like, just before I left.
Of course. That shit never happens at an opportune moment.
No. Never. Never.
It's got a complicated and already complicated situation.
Yep. I'm going to be working, like, every day this week, because we're doing this today, and then I'm tattooing somebody tomorrow, and then I'm taking on another client, like,
nice.
Both on days off, and then my week is booked, so.
Good. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Keep your hands on ice, yo.
Yep. This time of year, though, it gets crazy, man, and it... Okay, so, I faux pod.
Oh.
really bad this week, though.
Oh, do tell.
Okay, so I had a guy come in,
okay,
a client, and he had a old tattoo that he needed covered up.
Okay. I
won't describe that because it's not the point of this. Suffice it to say, it was not good.
Oh, fair.
Well, he had come in earlier, right? Like a couple days before that, and set up the consultation with me.
Yes.
And him and his friends were just blasting this tattoo. So I felt a little more relaxed with it. And I was blasting it equally hard during his consultation. I did not realize, okay, he brought his mom and his girlfriend with him. I did not realize it was his girlfriend that did the tattoo.
Ooh.
And I was brutal.
Ooh, you savage.
I was like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, the line work, it varies. There's like 6 different line widths in this. I'm going to have a hard time fixing that. So we're going to do this, this, and this to fix that. I'm like, I don't know what this shape is. It's really lopsided. I'm not sure, like, if they just couldn't get the arch right or what. But, like, and it just picking apart every little thing about this. And then he's like, well, there was a detail in it he wanted to keep. And I'm like, we can try, but I'm like, but it's not good. It's not clean at all. And the stuff around it, I can't save at all, you know?
Right.
And he was like, oh, okay. Well, turns out too, his mom was friends with my boss.
Oh, cool.
And shot him a message and was like, hey, she's a bit of a dick.
Lamau.
And look, and my boss was like, yeah, I mean, she's a tattoo artist. We're all kind of assholes when it comes to stuff like that. And
we're critical of other people's profession, not them personally.
Well, it wasn't a professional, though. It was a scratcher. So
yeah. And it's not like you were speaking of the girl. You were speaking of the tattoo. There's
exactly.
The difference.
Exactly. So that, but that was the thing. It was just so awkward when I found out later, mm-hmm, of course, that it was her, and then I'm recalling everything I said in my head. And at first I was like, oh God, I feel so bad. And points to Kat, because she went, no. And I'm like, what do you mean no? She goes, you're not allowed to feel bad because you called a scratcher out on their bullshit. And I'm like,
no, you're not. Well, you shouldn't feel bad because you were able to separate the personal and the professional. You didn't attack them as a person. You didn't like, what?
No.
Monkey pawed fucking stupid person did this goddamn tattoo.
The
you
only
were like
thing I said is a good tattoo artist is able to keep their line width consistent.
Right.
You know? And that's all I said. And I said good tattoo artist. Now, she's not a tattoo artist. She's a scratcher. You know? So, I don't know. It was this mix of, like, I felt bad, and then I didn't immediately after. Kat was like, absolutely don't. She goes, no. She put him in danger by doing something she didn't know how to do, and he ended up with something incredibly ugly. And it's a lesson learned. She just had a young, stupid moment. We all have them. He just is wearing it. So.
Right.
But you're gonna fix it. It's gonna be fine again. You know?
Yay.
And it was like, all right, yeah, I feel better about it now. So, big thank you to Kat for that.
That's all right. It wouldn't be the first scratcher you fixed.
No, not even close. Around here, it's like an Olympic sport. It's like, ooh, my friend in high school can draw really well. Let's get the kit off Amazon. I'm sure nothing can go wrong. And then they do. And then he can't draw for shit on skin because it's a different medium.
Yeah. Yep.
Just because
you can draw doesn't mean you can paint.
Exactly. Just because somebody, and even then, just because somebody can paint doesn't mean they can sculpt. Just because someone can sculpt doesn't mean that they can work with glass. Just be, like,
nope.
It's
agreed.
This stupid assumption that just anybody can pick this shit up. And then I saw this, like, on the internet that some kid, like, during quarantine was giving himself a tattoo every day.
Oh, cool.
Ordered a kit offline and was tattooing himself. Now, granted, if you're going to fuck up somebody, at least it's yourself.
Right. That's your choice.
Yeah, exactly. But then, like, people in the comments, I'm like, it's stupid, but whatever. Like, I don't have any anger issues toward it one way or another. It was on him.
Right.
So whatever, man. Like, a lot of artists in the industry do that. You're not hurting nobody else. Exactly.
It's all you can really ask for.
It's when they start tattooing other people that I get pissed. You know,
if the other person is consensual, I guess
I know
do what you want.
I
want to be a doodle pad.
right, and you're not wrong about that. But there were people in the comments going, well, he's just trying to pick up a new hobby. I'm like, it's not a fucking hobby. It's like saying, I want to be a dentist for myself for a week. He's just learning a new hobby. Dentistry isn't a hobby, you dumbass. Really?
There's definitely a difference.
Oh, God. Okay, yeah,
You don't really hear of, hobbyist tattooers.
No. And if you do, they're not good. They're still a scratcher. With very few exceptions, and there's always exceptions, if they're not working in a shop, there's a reason. Even if they're a good artist and they're not working in a shop, there's a reason.
Fair.
There is always a reason somebody doesn't want to work in the shop, and it's always something shady.
Right.
Always.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah.
There's a lesson, everyone.
Oh, God. But yeah, so that was the week.
What a week. It was a good one, though.
Yeah, it was.
This is a great way to end it. I don't need to open the puppies and kittens folder on my computer after this. My blood alcohol level will be at an acceptable sober level by bedtime, so we're good.
Yeah, good. Cool. Yay! I did a thing.
Yay! Showing me the wicked side of the papacy.
Yep. Like I said, this might be something we could come back to and do a part two.
Because I'm always down to hear about more popes fucking.
There is a list on Wikipedia, of sexually active popes.
Nice.
That's a list that exists somewhere.
The pious pope porno list.
God.
Wait, the pious pope porno postings. The alliteration is hard today. There we go.
God. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. We appreciate you joining us again for another episode. As always, you can follow us on our social media. And hey, this time I'm in good enough shape, I can do the endings.
Hey!
Anyway, we're most active on our Instagram. You can find us at The Wicked Side. We're also on Twitter. And then we're on Facebook at Wicked Meth. So, that's still a thing. I know. It's canon. Shut up. Anyway, if you're new here, we hope you had a good time with us. And for returning listeners, thank you guys so much. We appreciate you. And thank you again to the Paranormal Podcasting community. As always, we're going to thank you guys for your continued support. And we appreciate all the support in general we've been getting lately. It's been really cool to see some real positive feedback and people liking the stories. So
nice.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, once more, thank you, everybody. And we'll see you on the other side.
See ya.